How would you like to attend a conference and hear Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Jonathan Fisk, Will Wheaton, Chris Roseborough, and Al Schmidt? You're invited to the 2014 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. Registration is $100 per person. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 13th and 14th in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
God is so good, man. He brought me a mighty long way, and just it's unbelievable. It's kind of surreal, to be honest with you. I'm just sitting there holding that trophy up, and I'm looking up, and I'm just so thankful.
We refuse to terminate our children because of the lack of societal supports. Women deserve better than abortion.
There's nothing too trivial for God. He doesn't filter out our prayers and hear the important ones first and the not that important ones later. He listens to everything that we say. And this is a completely undeserved gift.
What holds a marriage together for 50 years is not the fact that a man and woman love each other. What holds a marriage together for 50 years is that by the grace of God, a man and a woman went on forgiving each other.
Hello. I want to say that foreigners with English as a second language also love Issues, etc.
It's pretty obvious if you read the Gospels that children aren't left out of Jesus' consideration. He did not come only for adults. He came, in fact, and welcomed children. On several occasions, he even insists that children be welcomed. He takes a little child in the midst of his grown-up disciples and makes this child an example of kind of the supreme example of what a disciple actually is, what a Christian actually is. What does all of this mean? What is the view of children in the New Testament as our Lord and Savior Jesus delivers it to us? We're going to be talking about a biblical view of children. Dr. Charles Geeshan will join us here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. Live on this Friday afternoon, February the 7th, I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, Dr. James Hitchcock joins us. There's a report by the United Nations Rights Committee on sex abuse by the Roman Catholic Church, and it is really hard on the Vatican, and the Vatican has responded. We'll see what's going on there. Pastor Ted Giese will join us to review the movie 12 Years a Slave. He says this is definitely one of those very difficult-to-watch films, not only because of its violence, but also because of its subject matter and the story that it tells. Dr. Curtis Giese will join us after that. We'll be remembering Silas, a fellow worker of Peter and Paul, who is remembered on the 10th of February. Then Pastor Michael Shurman will join us to give us an update on Thrivent Financial for Lutherans' refusal to restore funding to pro-life organizations. The news is breaking even as we speak, and we'll see what Pastor Shurman has discovered of late in terms of the amount of money that will not be restored to pro-life organizations. It's not a small amount of money. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We got four soundbites ready to play for you. Great soundbites on many subjects. We'll play them for you. You call, you listen, then you call, you email, you go to our Facebook fan page, and you vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, your opportunity to win the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues t-shirt, travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, mouse pad, and notepad in the LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in the last half hour of Issues Etc. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, and you could vote in advance at our Facebook fan page for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Dr. Charles Geeshan is a regular guest, academic dean and professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's author of an article in the latest Concordia Theological Quarterly titled "The Value of Children According to the Gospels." Dr. Geeshan, welcome back.
Great to be with you again.
You say that Jesus actually places children front and center in his earthly ministry, and they are a primary focus of his salvific activity. What do you mean by this?
Well, I think the key thing, you know, it's kind of sad that we even need to take up this kind of discussion, but I think one of the reasons why I wrote this article is because the the desire to have children, the desire to nurture children, certainly has waned in Western societies, including our own in the United States, and among Christians. And so just to put before people once again how Jesus, in his earthly ministry, made a point of reaching out to children. You mentioned in your introduction that text that's found in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where little children were being brought to him in order that he put his hands on them. And, you know, it's how the disciples were rebuking, wanting to stop this kind of activity. And Jesus really goes after them and says, allow these little children to come and stop hindering them, because the reign of heaven is for such as these. Namely, they epitomize, they aren't just kind of window dressing for the mission of the kingdom, they epitomize what Christ is all about, reaching out and offering grace freely. And children, as we all know, are an example of faith for all, because they receive and believe when the Holy Spirit works through baptism, quite apart from, you know, deep intellectual reflection or the like.
Can you set the context for us, first of all, with respect to the kind of the social cultural, the pervading social cultural view of children in first century Palestine under Roman rule? Was Jesus proposing something radical by the way he viewed children?
Yeah, I think the key thing is, certainly one can say that, oh, there's respect and love for children that can be found in the Greco-Roman world, but there's also plenty of evidence that wasn't across the board. And, you know, part of it is the kind of thing that sometimes is even anticipated or done in cultures today, where if the child that was born in the wider Roman society was not what the parents wanted or what they could afford, then exposure was a way in which sometimes they dealt with an unwanted child, and thus just putting the child out for the elements in order to perish. And that was a much wider practice than we could, you know, some of us may think that's barbaric, but, I mean, it's an example of something that was done after a child is taken from the, you know, after the child is born, but we in our societies do something very similar to that before the child even comes out of the secure area of the womb.
So the children were not even valued by our cultural standards, which, as you say, in many ways, we've kind of returned unwittingly to the pagan devaluing of children.
Yeah, or, you know, viewing them as somewhat pragmatic, you know, if it wasn't the exact kind of child. I mean, another thing that certainly would factor into this is if the child was had any problems, you know, it may not be accepted into the family. But this was, you know, something that was accepted in wider Roman society, and it shows, you know, in that environment that Jesus' attitude of showing the value of children, even children that are sickly, who need, you know, physical care. You know, so many of his miracles were not just for adults. You see him reaching out and responding to parental requests for help with their young children, which again shows his value of all children, including those that maybe a wider society would say, you know, why bother? Why take the effort?
Is Jesus' view of children in the New Testament Gospels, mm-hmm. is it consistent, is it continuous with an Old Testament view of children?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that you see in Jesus is going back to that strong pre-fall view of the value of being fruitful and multiplying, and that this was a natural part, blessed part of the creation of woman to be with man, was to actually have fruit of that union, fruit of that that intimacy, and that fruit would be children. And you see this, you know, obviously there's all sorts of challenges in some of the families that we see in the Old Testament, but in general, you see a strong interest in part because of the fact that God shows his blessing for building a nation and also for one day bringing the Messiah from that nation to save not only that nation, Israel, but the whole world. But you see a concern for having children. And if there's a barrenness, I mean, a great example in the Old Testament is Abraham, you know, very concerned and desiring a child strongly, and the Lord, you know, answering that prayer with the birth of Isaac. But throughout the Old Testament, there is that strong testimony to the value of children. Probably, I think, one of the places where it's summarized very nicely is in the Psalter. Psalm 127, I think, reflects the broader Old Testament testimony when it says, "See, children are a special grant of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They shall not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate." That kind of you know, view of children as a blessing of a marriage, you know, recognizing that not every marriage, you know, is blessed with children, you know, recognizing that not every person is blessed with a marriage. But nevertheless, when two people are married and there is the opportunity to have children, that children are a great blessing from the Lord and to be valued as such. And it's a central aspect of marriage is the resulting procreation that comes from that union.
Dr. Charles Gieschen is our guest on this Friday afternoon, February the 7th. We're talking about a biblical view of children. We'll take a break, and when we come back, about another 10 minutes with him. Then Dr. James Hitchcock will join us. We'll get a report on the Vatican's response to United Nations Rights Committee report that the Vatican simply dropped the ball and was obstructionist when it came to investigating sex abuse by Roman Catholic priests. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Expert guests. Expansive topics. Extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen on Demand.
Does God work through children to help others? Do children have a vocation? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is How Can I Help? God's Calling for Kids. It's a great book for children ages 4 through 8 and only costs $7.99. How Can I Help? Is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can check out How Can I Help? God's Calling for Children at issuesetc.org. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Dr. Charles Geeshan is our guest, academic dean and professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, talking about the biblical view of children. Another thing that you found here, and I'm glad that you went this direction because I think we often pass over it as kind of merely the story of Jesus, but the Gospels, at least several of them, do record the conception, the birth of Jesus himself. What do we learn here about the New Testament's view of children?
Well, I think, you know, we always think of those stories as just focused on the unveiling of Jesus as the Messiah, but one can say they are that, but they're also a testimony to the value of each life and life beginning with conception. They're a value, they're a testimony to how Jesus himself, by sharing, you know, he didn't pop into this world as an adult, but by sharing our humanity specifically from the moment of conception in the womb of his mother, the Virgin Mary, and then being born and as a young baby and growing up as a child, all of that, in a sense, is an affirmation of God's love and care for children from the moment of conception.
So we're not stretching it today when so many in the pro-life community talk about the fact that we have a God who has revealed himself precisely through this incarnation, this conception, this gestation, this birth, through the womb of the Virgin Mary.
Well, we aren't stretching it at all. Matter of fact, Luke gives us quite a view in the sense of not only Jesus but also John the Baptist, and you know that amazing text where John leaps in the womb when he's brought into the presence of the pregnant Mary. And in the sense of he being in the womb of his mother. And you have there, I think, an additional text that just is showing how children who are in the womb can have the spirit, it can impact them. And there's faith, one might call even infant faith, because the text itself specifically identifies a reaction to the presence of Jesus by John the Baptist. And obviously we would say that, you know, the text is testifying that there is a recognition of who that other child is in the womb of the Virgin Mary by John the Baptist.
Now, another thing that we need to discuss here is that Jesus not only gives a certain place to children mm-hmm. in his ministry, but he also has some explicit teachings on marriage as well. How did they bear upon the New Testament's view of children?
Well, I think you can see the fact of how Jesus views marriage as a sacred union between one man and one woman that is lifelong. That says something about what his value of marriage, because marriage is connected to family. I mean, too often in our society, and it's a rather modern phenomenon, one might say from the mid-20th century forward, there's a disconnecting of the intimacy between a man and a woman in marriage and procreation. in one might say, in the ancient world and most, you know, most of history, those two went hand in hand. And so Jesus' teaching about the value of marriage, and that marriage is a lifelong union between one woman and one man, really is also testimony to his value of family and his value of children that result from that kind of union. So his teaching on divorce, which is found in several places, is not only important for our testimony to marriage and what marriage is, but it's also important testimony to family and children, because without that kind of union, where you wouldn't have a place for children to once, you know, both be conceived and nurtured as a family.
So how would you summarize Jesus' teaching about children? How would you kind of wrap it all up and say, not wrapping up our conversation, but how would you summarize and bring together everything that Jesus explicitly says about children in the kingdom of God?
Yeah. Well, I think he first of all, shows how when we look at our mission, that children are not just part of it, but they're, one might say, almost the central part of it. And I say this because sometimes, you know, the focus is, you know, go proclaim to adults, go reason with adults. In many respects, I think what Jesus is saying is we are to scatter the gospel all over, but one of the important places that we are to scatter the gospel, and especially one might say the gospel through holy baptism, is with children. And I think any pastor can say the best place to start in terms of nurturing life in Christ is to start as early as possible, you know, to plant the seed early and often, knowing that Satan is working against, but to start, you know, in terms of the baptism of infants is so important for the missiology, for the mission of the church, and then to nurture that faith and life in Jesus Christ begun at baptism in those early years through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, both in the home and in the congregation. This grows out of Jesus' focus, and the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Not only are they an example for the passive receiving in faith, but they're also, one might say, he lifts it up as to be not just part of the mission, but a central part of the mission of the church.
I mean, in that so-called Great Commission,
yeah,
where Jesus says making disciples by baptizing and teaching, could we go so far as to say that certainly not the exclusive or only way, but the primary way Jesus envisions, at least in kind of the day-to-day working out of this thing, of disciples being made of all nations, is by baptizing, in fact, children and infants.
Yeah, yeah. One might say, for second-generation Christians, this is a key way, because, you know, once you have parents brought to faith at an absolute vital way that the second generation Christianity then is nurtured is from through infant baptism, and you see this in Acts. You know, it's why are there so many adults baptized in Acts? I always say, well, you know, it's because there weren't Christians, and so the first ones that are hearing it are often the adults, and then they're receiving the gospel not only through hearing the Pentecost sermon, but also by being baptized. But very soon, then, on the heels of that, you would have children being born or children in those families also being baptized. So that this isn't just kind of a small part of it, but a central part of the church's growing from generation to generation is both Christians having children and baptizing and nurturing them, and then, you know, when they reach out to a family, a vital part of a new family is also including not just the adults in the catechesis, but also the children through baptism.
So two final questions for you there. Mm-hmm. And this one probably doesn't take much to dispense with. Does it surprise you at all that in the Christian tradition, denominations or confessions of faith that have denied infant baptism, generally also, especially in the modern context, tend to kind of not know what to do with their kids? In some cases, they don't have the kids in church. They have children's church on a Sunday morning, and the adults do an entirely separate thing.
Yeah, I've been an advocate of, as a, both a parish pastor and a professor, to say, you know, nurture the child in the worship service. And I think it's great that we do, you know, special things geared towards children through our parochial schools, vacation Bible school, et cetera, et cetera. But I think, you know, we shouldn't say this is only for adults because, you know, we're going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper now. I think, you know, what better way to create that interest and longing to participate in that part of the service or in the sermon, you know, than to actually begin hearing it or begin to see it received by the congregation. So that, in a sense, from a very early age, they're hearing the hymns, they're hearing the liturgy, they're seeing the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, and that's a vital part of their life in Christ too.
What generally should the church learn when finding in the New Testament all of this teaching about children? With about a minute here, Dr. Geeshan.
Yeah, I think. You know, unlike the wider society that sometimes says, you know, this is these little bundles are a huge expense and a huge drain on your time. The scriptures, and including the gospels, the very, you know, life of Jesus, testify this is absolutely important for the present and future generations of Christianity. Is to have children, to baptize them, to nurture them. And one of the most important ways we can impact the next generation for Christ is to have children, raise them in the faith, that they may be the church of the next generation in the sense of helping witness to Christ long after I, as a parent, am gone, or any of our hearers, our parents are gone. I always say that as much as we may impact the world and wider society through various careers, one of the greatest things that we can do as Christians is to leave behind children that will continue that which we have the Holy Spirit has worked in us, namely faith in Jesus Christ, testifying to the world of Jesus.
With about 30 seconds here, Dr. Geeshan, you serve as academic dean, professor of New Testament, Concordia Theological mm-hmm. Seminary there in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Speak to a man listening to us now, who, and especially a man who is perhaps considering studying for the office of the Holy Ministry. About 30 seconds.
Yeah. Well, Jesus said, pray to the Lord of harvest that the Lord would, that he would send out more workers into his harvest field. And that prayer continues to go on. There is a need in every generation for people men who are Christ under shepherds, who extend his shepherding of the church, his witness to the world. And so I would say both that prayer that Jesus has asked us to pray, that's something for every generation, and he is continuing to send men out, and some of the people that are listening are the very men that we're praying for, are the very men that Jesus was talking about in this prayer. and the very men that he will continue to send out to shepherd his flock and to witness to the wider world that Jesus, of what he has done through his life, death, and resurrection for the salvation of the world and for the forgiveness of sin.
If you've ever considered the vocation of pastor, you can contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their toll-free number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit them at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Charles Geeshan is author of an article in the latest Concordia Theological Quarterly titled The Value of Children According to the Gospels. Dr. Geeshan, thank you very much for being our guest.
You are very welcome.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. James Hitchcock, Professor Emeritus of History at St. Louis University. There is a report by a United Nations Rights Committee on sex abuse by Roman Catholic priests. It's very hard on the Vatican, and the Vatican has responded. We'll see what's going on there with Dr. Hitchcock right after this.
In Higher Things, we believe that if you put good Christ crucified for you Lutheranism into a youth, you'll get a good Christ crucified for you Lutheran youth. Join us this July at the Higher Things Crucified Youth Conferences in Florida, Wisconsin, Utah. Check us out at www.higherthings.org. Higherthings.org. Dare your youth to be Lutherans this summer.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+, simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then, B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission at ctsfw.edu.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If any former evangelicals are hearing me speak right now, I want to assure you, you don't have to be a homeless Christian. If you would go to issuesetc.org, look on their website, you'll find a list of churches. Find one close to you and attend that church. There, you can receive the true gospel, you don't have to be a homeless Christian, and they will not call you a backslider.
To find a church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Christ at the Center, The Justification of the Ungodly, A Contemporary View of Faith and Reason, The Holy Spirit in Christ. These are just some of the almost 30 essays included in Propter Christum, Christ at the Center. It's a new book of essays in honor of Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Daniel Preuss. Find out more and purchase Propter Christum at shop.logia.org. Propter Christum, Christ at the Center, shop.logia.org.